You're listening to a podcast from 702 and Cape Talk.
8 minutes past 10 o'clock. Welcome to the second hour of the Sibus Makhaza Show with me, Gugs Mtlungu, with you until midday on Cape Talk and 702. As mentioned earlier on, there's been research, interesting research, looking at the rate of fathers who stay in their children's lives in the country. And it's been quite interesting in that South Africa's stats are seemingly a lot higher than what we've previously thought them to be. And so we're having a conversation about the challenges of fathering in the country. Are you in your children's life? If you're not, what are the challenges preventing you from doing so? And we take your calls on 021-446-0567 and 011-883-0702. There was an interesting study also done in the US looking at the rates of fathers who stay in their children's lives. And contrary to what was previously thought to be fairly low numbers among African-American fathers, they found that actually African-American fathers are some of the most present in their children's lives. So it'd be interesting to see what the research shows for South Africa. And we're joined on the line by Kabelo Tshabalala, who's the founder of the Young Man Movement, to speak about the challenges of fathering and the issue of rates of children growing up without their fathers in the country. Kabelo, good morning. Thank you so much for joining us.
Morning, Gugs. How are you?
Very well, thank you, Kabelo. And yourself?
I'm good.
So what does the research tell us about the rates of fatherhood in the country?
I actually loved it. And going through it, I was having a discussion with a friend, brother of mine, Tepo, and explaining to him that the saddest thing that we do as South Africans, especially those who are in the middle LSM group and going high, is that we reduce fathering to the people who can afford and forgetting those that are in the low LSM. Can you hear me?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So I realized that we talk about fathers as people who are living in Centurion, in Houghton, and in the suburbs of Pretoria, is forgetting those guys who have to go to work 12 hours of the day, who are security guards, who work at food outlets, that what it means to be a father to them will be different from that guy who earns 30,000 plus, or to that guy who can take a day off to say that, you know what, my kid is playing football tomorrow. Sorry, boss, I'll see you the next day. I'm going to support my child. They don't have that luxury. And I think to see how they went into the township to find those people who are living, you know, below that poverty line and who are trying every day to survive made it so much interesting to say that we can't put everybody under one umbrella. We need to start looking at the other possibilities. I mean, the other factors of fathering and what makes it so different to all of us, you know?
And quite a bit of research, including apparently one done by the Center for Social Development in Africa, it says for a lot of people what they consider fathering is not so much, I guess, being present or time spent, but quite importantly around being responsible for supporting families financially. And so that means non-financial care responsibilities often don't fall on fathers. But quite critically, part of the idea of fatherhood, or what many of us consider to be fatherhood, is around providing. And that also, I think you touched on that earlier, that hasn't been, that hadn't been considered before, that perhaps men who may not have, I guess, the time or the luxury of being able to be with their kids, they try and look after the primary care of their children by providing, or the primary care of their family by providing. And that really, I think it broadens the definition, I guess, of what we consider to be active or present fathers.
That's correct, Good. You see, and it's so sad. Let's take an example. I do have colleagues who are security guards, right? I sit down with them and you ask about, you know, their normal day. And the guy will say to you, Kabelo, I leave Hammanskraal. I wake up at 3 a.m. I need to catch a bus to Pretoria at 5, right? And I get to town, I mean, around 5, I'm in town at 6. My shift is going to be from 6 to 6. That's 12 hours office. That's 12 hours at the job. And then again, catch a bus at 7 o'clock, get home around 9 o'clock. So from 3 o'clock to 9 o'clock, that is 75% of his time spent preparing. And the salary is so paltry that this guy cannot even afford most of the things. So he takes 8 hours just to work and, you know, make that living. And then he still needs to sleep, which is something that we don't even consider. He doesn't have that normal job of waking up at 6, getting to the office at 8 or 9 o'clock, knocking at off at 4 or 5, or the luxury of leave, or the luxury of getting, you know, disposable money from there and there. And that's why I'm saying, we look into South Africa, where we're talking about more than 60% of fathers that are absent or who are not playing an active role. But we forget to say, we all talk about, yeah, they're not emotionally available. But nobody went to an extent like this guy to say that here is the point. Here is why they can't be at that soccer match. Here is why they can't be there to do the homework, because the practicality of their life, which is to say that I want to bring some food on the table, takes almost all of their day, making them absent to play other things. And it doesn't mean that they don't want to be there. And it's so sad that as a father to a teenager or somebody or a toddler, you can't be explaining that to them, because your focus is to say that we need to eat. I need to get the basics at home. So that is what they go all out to do, making them absent to play other roles, which also plays into the point of the roles, the mother and the father, who plays what role, who is more suited to play what role, without us infringing on the other's rights, because parenting can be done by both mother and father.
Mm. Yeah. And we'll come back to that point about the idea of roles and how that also contributes in many ways to ideas or perceptions of fathers not being present in their children's lives. But let's go to Little Honolo in Pretoria first. Little Honolo, good morning.
Hi, Giggs. How are you doing, man?
Very well, thank you, Little Honolo.
I'm chilled. Giggs, I'm happy that article got released. Mm. I shared it to so many of my guy friends. Mm. I've got the exact same argument time and time and again, where I think the country as a whole is stuck in a cycle. It's stuck in a cycle of hegemony versus tradition.
Mm.
Hegemony is obviously where our parents, i.e. especially black parents, are expected to, black fathers, sorry, were expected to go to your mining cities or mining towns and make a bit of cash to send it back home, i.e. over a span of what, 50 to 60 years, mm-hmm. it created this whole sense of fathers are not present.
Mm.
60 odd years down the line, all of us are present, you know? The hegemony still exists, but the traditions, on the other hand, are now competing with this. What I mean by that ultimately is that fathers, we're raised as traditional beings, especially the modern day guy, but the hegemony exists that only women can take care of kids. And I think there has to be a big paradigm shift with reference to that mentality. Because at the end of the day, modern day fathers, and I'm not just speaking for myself, I'm literally speaking for a good 20 to 30 guys I personally know that are suffering from lack of not being able to be part of their kids' lives, because the women are expecting them not to be there, but to be, as the article referred to, ATM fathers, and as obviously your caller also referred to, you were speaking of just now, as oaks that will just pay and not necessarily pay a particular part in their... I used to work at a security company, and truth be told, what he just said is perfect.
Hmm.
Oaks are expected to come to work at 6, you're leaving at 6 at night. Obviously, it takes about 4 hours just to commute from X to Y. And these guys, I would speak to one or two guys. They tell me they've got 2 or 3 kids, and they could. I'm a coach by profession now. I left the company. And they would be crying out to be part of their kids' lives, you know? And it was such a weird thing to hear that from black men that are stuck in particular jobs. I don't know. It's weird. As I speak to you right now, I'm heading to the Human Rights Commission right now.
Mm-hmm.
I'm literally fighting for custody of my daughter.
Mm-hmm.
And time and again, you'll turn to our parents, if I may call them that, our elderly women in particular. They'll tell you, loosely translated, just patalangwana. And you can't have that.
Because if you want to be present.
It damages you just not as a human being, but as a person. The other day I was asked by a social worker, why do I believe I'd be the perfect person to be fathering my child? Mm. Like, first and foremost, why am I proving in the first place that I'm a good father for my child? Secondly, is the woman expected to do the same? If I've complied with the Children's Act, whatever, I think there's four things that you have to comply with. Being acknowledged as a father, being there financially, or having her try to be there financially, mm-hmm. you know, the usual stuff.
Yes.
Like, but this very same mentality feeds into the same nonsense that modern day men are going through. And I actually realized about a year or two ago, it's not that our fathers couldn't be there or didn't want to be there, but it's because they were forced into this horrible cycle where you need to go to work, you need to hustle, and then you come back, you're here, this joyous child, trying to talk to your dad, and your dad is like, dude, I've just had a 13, 14-hour day. Can I just have 2 or 3 hours to myself? By the time that self comes, you're already asleep, and the cycle begins again on a day-to-day basis. So that article for me, thank you. Whomever that wrote it, whomever's been doing that research for it, thank you. I'm going to literally use it right now at the Human Rights Commission and say, this is the kind of man I am. These are the kind of arguments I'm having on a daily basis. And yeah, man, thank you, dude.
Thank you for your call.
I've spread it, and I'm hoping people will spread it also. Yeah.
That's Lisa Honolo in Pretoria. Thank you very much for your call. Max in Kempton Park, good morning.
Hi, good. How are you?
Very well, thank you, Max.
I'm very, very good. Mm. You know what? It's another story to tell, because I'm staying with my girl child who is 8 years, and the mother is absent. I'm doing the parenting, I'm doing everything, all the logistics.
Mm-hmm.
So when you try to get the mother involved, the mother doesn't want to be involved. Even in school methods as well, the mother doesn't want to play a role. I get to prepare everything, the logistics for the child, the washing. I've got to cook for the child. I've got to help the child with the homework. You get the mother on board, the mother doesn't want to interact with the child to try to make sure that the child is also being treated as the same as other children are getting the fair treatment from the mother.
Mm-hmm.
So it becomes something difficult that fathers are not present. But the fathers are there. When they are there, the mothers are not there.
And you mean this is more being there in more than just financial care, so the non-financial care responsibility, so the support, the raising, all of that, you mean there in that way?
Yes, the mother doesn't even want to contribute towards buying her the clothes, food, doesn't want to do anything. It says the father is there. When you want something, go to your father.
Mm. And do you find that you are supported with the other responsibilities? Because one of the things this research spoke about was ideas that non-financial care responsibilities are not for men. And what that often means is then men don't get the assistance. So it becomes a self-perpetuating issue. We want men to assist at home or with child rearing, but we don't give them the opportunity to do so in the workplace. We don't support them. And then obviously they're unable to do so. They then are reluctant to. And of course, there are people who aren't interested in their children's lives. But do you find then that you don't get the kind of support that would also help you do all the other responsibilities that are outside of the money aspect?
For me, on the other side, I expect the mother to be doing that because I'm the father who's doing everything.
Mm-hmm.
So the mother should be also playing that particular role in terms of us. But the mother is also absent.
That's a difficult one, and I imagine for many people who take up the role of, I guess, the primary care, it becomes very difficult. Thank you very much for your call, Max. And I imagine there are lots of instances where fathers are involved in the primary care of their children, but also finding that they need to do the other responsibilities as well. But one of the other things you touched on, Gabelo, was this idea of roles. And we know gender roles, they're quite a powerful idea in society. They shape, you know, how society works, companies. Mm-hmm. And even though, you know, we're making great strides and challenging some of the ones that hold us back, they're still very pervasive and make it difficult, I guess, for parenting on either side.
And also, you know, before we get to those gender role discussions, we left another category of men. These are men who don't have any source of income. They don't even have that luxury of a 12-hour job, which will bring in something. And it's also mentioned in the research, that guy who, unfortunately, the mother is absent. He's left with the kid, and he has to go to SASSA to get that 300 and something for the kid. Now, these are the men who are somehow, you know, it's a blessing in disguise that them not having the job gives them the opportunity to play those active role of caring, those active role of doing homework with their kids, those active roles of being emotionally available and otherwise. So that's why I'm saying to blanket the issue, it's actually a disservice. It's a picture that is missing quite a lot of elements. And then we talk about the role playing. If it's two people who are living with their kids, and then the guy has to be away from home for more than 15 hours, I wouldn't say that he's not playing his role in terms of, you know, helping with the chores at home. Mm-hmm. This person is away from home for 15 hours. When he comes back, he's bushed. He wants to rest. So that, for me, is a case of what is our situation. But if we are at home, as the first caller spoke of modern men. And by modern men, I presume he's talking about that guy who has what we call a proper job, who is in the middle class. I think there we can talk about taking turns and shifts, because then the setup allows. But for people where it's only the guy, he earns a mere 48,000 or less, and he has to be away from home for 15 hours, and the woman or the partner is not working, I think it would be unfair to still expect him to come back from work, change nappies, bathe the kids, do homework, because he doesn't have that luxury. The same, you see, so it's about who is dealing with what kind of a situation. And when we come to the responsibilities towards the child, who plays what role in the house, we need to factor who has how much of time in their hands to be doing what and agree on whatever that works. I mean, if I'm a terrible cook and my partner is better than me, I think we would both have to agree that she will have to take most part of it, and then I will come in when, you know, when she's not at home, when she's tired, or when I just need to pamper. Because it's about the dynamics and what plays best for us, rather than to say that, yeah, women have been cooking all their lives, men should come into play. And if it's her who has to come back at 8 o'clock, Kabelo can't get home at 5 o'clock and have to wait for a Lerato or Tabang, who comes back at 8 o'clock, to come cook for him. You need to do what needs to be done in the house, and then she'll come in and eat. So it's about the dynamics and what plays into the whole thing.
Joined on the line by Kabelo Tshabalala, founder of Young Man Movement, and speaking about interesting research that's been done, including by the Center for Social Development, looking at the prevailing norms, but also interesting insight as to what counts as fathers being present in their children's lives. And it says that it's been shown among both men and women that fathers are widely considered as primarily being responsible for supporting the family financially, which frequently leads to men enabling them to sidestep non-financial care responsibilities. And is that still the case, where for the most part it's still about the finances but not the non-financial care responsibilities? And if you are a father that is involved in the non-financial care responsibilities, do you have the kind of support you need to do those well? 021-446-0567. Your calls are 011-883-0702.
702 and Cape Talk, your number one news and talk station.
27 minutes before 11 o'clock. Welcome back to the Sivus Makhaza Show. Still speaking about the research that's been done, looking at the role of fathers in contemporary society and what counts as fatherhood. And I'm joined on the line by founder of Young Man Movement, Kabelo Tshabalala. And of course, taking your calls and your experiences on 021-446-0567 and 011-883-0702. Claudius in Kensington, good morning.
Yes, how are you?
Good. Well, thank you.
I'm very much fine. I just want to, to add more to what the other callers have been saying. I'm a father of two boys, and me and my wife, we separated. And every time when we speak custody, because she's not necessarily working, I think I've got better maybe means, although I can help. I have been supporting my kids. But every time when I speak about maybe having full custody of the kids, the resistance that I get sometimes starts from my own family. My own mother is the first one to say, you just give them the money. Mm-hmm. The mother will take care. And my problem, what I always say to them is that when I was young, you used to go out and look for something to do, and you leave me with my young brothers and I would look after them. So now that is my own kids, I can't look after them. So I think us men, especially like what the other caller said, that I don't know, modern men, sometimes it's not always about finances again. If a woman can stay with kids, not working and leaving them at preschool, coming back at 6 o'clock and collecting them, why can't the men do? We can, just that we haven't been given, or no one thinks of us as capable of doing such.
As caregivers.
Yes, we've been deprived of something that we really love, because I think us modern men, we really love our kids. We want to be with them. We want to connect more with them. But I think, I don't know, history is disadvantaging us on that regard.
Mm. Thank you very much for your call. That's Claudius in Kensington. Ngosinati in Pretoria. Morning.
Good morning. How are you?
Well, thank you, Ngosinati.
I'm good, good. Yo, this is a very, very interesting research, and beautifully. I think I normally look at things where they emanate from. And as far as this is concerned, it's very easy to say this is a diagnosis and this is the pill to fix it. So parents must just, or fathers rather, must just take an initiative or do this and that. But it goes further into back in the day when the African man per se was detached from his family, because without the land he had to go work in mines and all that, so he was over time reduced to a financier and later an authoritarian. So when you get home, if you don't have books, you don't have what your mother will tell you, uzacela ubaba wakho. Then, or if you are in trouble, it's like, I will tell your dad. So over time, I guess parents, or rather fathers, were systematically detached from their kids. Even though you want to, looking naturally at your 2-3 year old, they draw more to their fathers than to their mothers naturally. That's a natural instinct. If the mother is there and the parent is there nurturing, they know that I've got mother for that. If I'm fed, I'm clean, and I, for spiritual or emotional upbringing, they want to go play with their father. They want, so as fathers having to work, and society still perpetuates that today, that window, and I need to leave my family, I need to go and work X number of hours. You know, the society still frowns upon you. You know, the other day I had a few ladies that I know surprised that I was taking care of my 4-month-year-old daughter in the absence of her mother throughout the weekend, and it's like, why is that? Why is it that society at large is not acceptable to the concept of men being parents, and not just being parents, but being nurturers?
And that goes back, I guess, to ideas of, because, you know, there's a link between fatherhood and ideas of masculinity as well. So, you know, what makes a man, or what makes a... So it, I think it also comes back to ideas of what's considered to be manly. And a lot of it might actually be around, we're making progress, but there's still places where there's still ideas of manliness that don't involve non-financial care or presence or providing emotional support or providing things which were considered perhaps in the past to only be the domain of mothers or aunts and grands, etc.
That's true.
Right now, women are starting to pick up in the corporate world more, especially where they are making just as much, and you find that women are now starting to not have enough time for their kids as well. Hence, they will need a helper at home to take care of their kids and whatnot. So society is, by design, or maybe by default, taking the parent away from the child. It's in the name of providing. You know, it's because I love my kids, I'll go out for 12 hours a day in order to provide. But it's hard finding the balance. And especially as men, you know, as a black man, you know, you shouldn't allow yourself to sit and say it's not working. If it means working 16 hours a day as a man, you must do that. And yes, there are women who are doing the same, but I feel like, especially emotionally, from boys, being boys, you are taught to man up, and that kills you. because it tells you that nothing is important and emotions are not important. The bottom line is that you must provide.
Mm.
And provision is more than just the financial aspect.
Thank you very much for that call. That's Nkosinathi in Pretoria. Kabelo, the point of, I guess, even, you know, how we look at the work of parenting or the work of the home, because it also falls into that, the idea of the division of labor and, you know, how we go about that and how we talk about that. To Nkosinathi's point that, you know, they are also long held, quite pervasive ideas that also hold us back in having a conversation about, so how do we do the best we can with what we have? So you find an arrangement that works best for your family. So whoever works, and whoever needs to be at home. And the idea of, you know, dividing it according to work rather than who is doing the work.
Yeah, I think also, Cooks, another interesting element that we need to look into is how the very same patriarchy, right, is working against men in things that somehow one can say didn't matter to them then, and now they matter to them now. Because we listen to the callers, it's all about, I want to be a part of my child's life. I want to be a father in my child's life. I want to be present. And not realizing that the imbalances or the misfortunes of the past during apartheid made him not to be away, defaulting that the women would be the ones who would do the caregiving, you know? So for us as men to be trusted with such a big responsibility, we also need to understand that, because you still find men who are, when they are left with their kids, they will say, I'm babysitting. You don't babysit your own child. You are parenting your own child.
Yes.
So you see, even how we are socialized, we still need to deconstruct that and find a new way of saying to men that your child is your child. When you are left with your child, you are parenting. It's not a job where it's like a helper who's coming in to do something that is not in their nature to do. So I think also equally important, we need to look into those dynamics again of fathering. Why would parents, traditional parents, like the other caller who said his mom said, he should just send the money. So his mom was basically saying, I trust the mother of your kids to do the caregiving better than I would with you. More especially in a case where she's not working and you're working. So for the kids to be with you, they won't be with you. They would be under, lawfully they will be yours, but then again, you will not be giving them the kind of care that they need, the nurturing that is needed on a day-to-day basis, because he has to be away. So that's what I'm saying. We also need to look into, I'm happy that these men are coming out. And by the way, we're dealing with 60% of men in sub-Sahara, specifically in South Africa, 60 that are not part of their kids. So these are part of the very few percentage that are, and that's exactly my point. We're not talking about the few men that are in the suburbs, that are modern, that are part of the middle class. We're talking about everybody, and it's to see how do we deal with their challenges respectively.
Mm. Daniel in Pretoria, thank you for holding. Good morning.
Good morning.
Yes, Daniel.
Some points have been highlighted that I wanted to highlight, but I wanted to emphasize that women as single parents also face the same challenges.
Mm-hmm.
They tend to give their heart to the children. Men, we tend to look at our pocket and we look at our own personal needs first. Maybe we need to change that perception. And secondly, Winnie Mandela was branded in Brantford. I don't know if these things are of any lessons to us. When she got in Brantford, it was a poor community, I heard. But what she started doing was not enjoying seeing poor people. But she mobilized them and said, let's make a crèche. All these children, let them be looked after by so-called unemployed people. Now they could do something constructive. Why can't we make soap? Why can't we make candles? Things at home. There's something that we can do. And it's not only work, it's not only going to Mlungu to get employed by Mlungu. No, there is something that we can always do and sustain the family. Why don't we have a garden at home and feed the family, feed the neighbors? The rest we can sell it to make extra money to catch up. So the last thing is, what does it mean to be with a child?
Mm-hmm.
I'm left with an impression that people want to sit there with a remote control and the boy is running around, get me a glass of water, and keeps changing the channels. Being with a child means let's do the house chores together. Let's wash dishes together. And as we are washing dishes, we talk about life. We talk about ourselves, our feelings. What happened during the day? What can we do? What is good for the family? What are our fears? That's being with the child. How does a boy separate a screwdriver from a wheel spanner? Let him get to do those things. Let him learn what is a radiator in the car. What is a pot? What is a pen? Get involved. Now, we talk about men come back from work, they are tired. Women are tired also. But why don't we hear of women resting? Are you there?
Mm-hmm. Very good points. Listening, Daniel.
I cut the flesh and stop here.
Thank you for your call, Daniel. That's Daniel in Pretoria. And I think he raises quite an interesting point. So the idea of, I guess, in most households, everyone is working hard. Because that's simply what you must do to survive, is that everyone is putting in work. But then also there's the need to look after children, to caregive. And so the idea that, again, in addition to the financial responsibilities, which make it necessary that people work, that the other responsibilities be seen as also part of the work of parenting, if you are able to live at home. Because, of course, some families don't have that luxury. People need to work away from their families, but where people are able to, that it be seen as part of the work. Because I'm glad Daniel raised it, the idea that, you know, mothers also must work. Women do the work outside of the home and within the home as well. So the idea that we consider that everyone's work, the work in the home and the work outside of the home, perhaps being part of the solution. Yes, Kabelo.
I hear where he was coming from, and I totally get it. But another thing is how we quickly deviate from our point of focus or our focal point, is that nobody said women should not work or that they also need to rest. We were coming from a point of saying the provision, the parenting from a father's perspective, their role in parenting, how are they best suited, what are the missing elements in terms of them playing the emotional role, the presence, the physical presence in their kids' lives, and what is the disadvantages that they have, like long hours at work, also having to rest, versus what if their partner, the mother, is not working and she has to stay at home, and how will they play their roles, you know? Who will do what when? And if I'm off by the weekend, surely I can take over. I can do the cooking. I can help with the cleaning. And so that she can rest, because she's been doing all these things over the weekend. So on my day off, I'll avail myself to help with the things that I couldn't do when I was at work. That's why I'm saying it's different. It varies from the setups in the family or in the parenting world of individuals. So and it's interesting that we still have to look into the part of this is about men and how we've been saying that they're not playing active roles in their kids' life. And another thing on the research that they mentioned was the issue of the widespread of unemployment, how that an inability to earn an income or fulfill that provider role often leads this man to abandon their children, their frustrations, whereby they leave the woman. And naturally and normally, mothers would want to be there. They take those kids as their primary responsibility. And that's why we see most of them not going to further their education, which is a disadvantage to the woman, not going to pursue, you know, promotions and whatnot, because they found that their partners abandoned them, and then they have to take, you know, the sole responsibility of taking care or upbringing their children and just doing everything in the interest of their kids, which is also another thing. Us not having jobs should not excuse us from playing our roles as fathers.
It is 11 minutes before 11 o'clock. We continue with this conversation. And, of course, your calls on 021-446-0567 and 011-883-0702 when we come back.
Call us on
0811-883-0702 or 021-446-0567.
Welcome back to the show. It's 8 minutes before 11. Still speaking about fatherhood in contemporary society and what that involves. And what's interesting is research showing that fatherhood means different things to different men in varying economic standards. For many people, because the bread and butter is quite critical, providing for family financially is central to definitions of good fatherhood. And in fact, the research shows that the physical absence of some fathers is not absence at all, because they father through the presence of basics like food, electricity, somewhere to live, school fees, all the basics that are required for kids to, to be okay. Also the issue of fathers who are jobless or don't have a source of income, fathering also being a different concept to them as well. So quite an interesting study as well that's been done by, was it the Africa Center for Social Development? And we still have a few calls, and I'm still joined on the line by Kabelo Shabalala, founder of the Young Man Movement. We've got Letlhogonolo in Midrand. Letlhogonolo, good morning.
Hi, guys. How are you?
Well, thank you.
You know, guys, this is the topic to me. It's a very sad topic. I actually want to speak to our young brothers out there. You know, I want to tell them that they need to take that responsibility, no matter how much the females could make it difficult on them. For those who are making it difficult, I just want to say, pick up for something that Kabelo has said in regard with, you know, when you're trying to build a household, you've got a female who's working, who works until late at night. You probably get home earlier than that. You in partnership, guys. You must be partners in this thing. You must get home. You cannot be waiting for her to get wherever she gets from work to come and cook for the kids and do all those things. When she's working, I basically do that. When my partner is going to work, she works shift. When she goes to work, I take over the household because I work at home. I take over the household. Come cooking time, I cook. When she's off, she then takes over the household. We help each other. You understand? As a young black man, you shouldn't be ashamed to tell your friend that, no, I need to go. I need to go and cook. It's 6 o'clock. I need to go cook for the kids. Or 6 o'clock, I need to go do homework with the kids. Something else that I want to say to them, you know, I've got a very sad situation whereby I'm getting married to my woman and I've got a child with somebody else. Recently now, last month, I was attacked by that person's younger brother because I wanted to pick up my child. It was my child's birthday on Friday. We spoke about it the whole week. As she said to me, she needs money to take him out to Gold Reef. I said, no, fine, take him out to Gold Reef on Friday. I gave her money to Gold Reef. I said, can I have her for Saturday and Sunday? Because all her brothers and sisters are going to be around. We're going to celebrate their birthday at my house. You know, I thought by then, because her father and mother have already spoken to her about this whole thing. I've been struggling with her since the child was born. She says to me, she always says this, that if I'm not with her, then I would not be in the child's life. Only thing that she needs from me, she will need from me, is for me to support my child. I said, but how? You know, I ended up having a situation about 2 years ago where I split with my woman and I went back to her so that I can spend time with my child. You understand? And I realized that it's not working. It's not going to work. I'm being with her because of I want to be with my child. I want to be with my son. You understand? As I said, I got attacked on that Saturday when I went to pick up my son. I phoned them the whole morning and the afternoon. They didn't answer the call. When I went there to pick up my son, I got attacked. And we're talking about a person who recently didn't even have work for 2 years. And I went out of my way to Springs to find a work and to move her from Soweto to move her closer to St. Sheldon, where I found work for her. And I went and bought furniture, I went and bought fridges and all the stuff for her so that she can take care of that my child. Because she was saying, no, in Soweto, you know, at least my family is there. I said, no, come here. Let me buy this stuff for you. I don't want to be with you. I just want you to be there for my child. You know, I ended up now having decided that this is the stance that I'm going to use, because I used this stance before with somebody else that I have a child with when they didn't want with my child. I stopped everything. As much as it hurts me right now that I can't see my son. And I cannot even provide for him. In the past 2 months, since the incident happened, I've stopped everything. I'm not going to. I told my mother, I told my wife, I said, I'm going to stop everything. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to give everything any son until such time she goes to court. Oh, I actually decided myself. I am going to tell. I need to make time and go to court, to Pretoria Court, and present even this case that I've opened for them for DBH. Do you understand? So that I can. I've decided now. I want my child. I want, because I've been struggling for way too long. And I just want to say out there to my brothers, do not be afraid to become a mother and a father to your kid. You understand?
Thank you very much for your call. That's Lehlogo Nolo in Midran. Quite a tough situation there.
Yeah.
And we know that that's an experience for many people who are looking to be part of their children's lives. But that wraps up the all the time we had. Kabelo, thank you very much for joining us this morning.
It's a pleasure, Cooks. Cool.
That's Kabelo Shabalala, the founder of the Young Man Movement.